Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind playing preacher for just a minute and give the sermon title to your neighbor and repeat after me. Say, neighbor,
oh
neighbor,
it's a good deal.
It is a good deal. That's the title for our sermon this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, if you heard the gospel lesson today, and you think it's fair, you weren't paying attention. I've been told that in the 1930s, in union halls all across America, they'd have this slogan, a fair day's work for a fair day's dollar. Sounds fair. But in the gospel lesson today, this master doesn't give either a fair day's work or a fair day's dollar. Let's kind of put it in our terms today with minimum wage. There's a group of folk who work one quick, cool hour. And when it comes time for pay, they get about $100. Then comes those who've worked 12 hours in the heat of the day, bearing the brunt of the work, and they receive about $100. That's not fair. But Jesus says that's the kingdom of heaven. Really? I mean, I know we're all Lutheran, and so we're sort of obligated to acknowledge that we are saved purely by grace, no works. But really, when divine accounts are settled and all the work is tallied, are we to really believe that There's no difference. That those who work tirelessly in the church are there every Sunday, giving offerings, working in the community, they're the same in God's eyes as the Creaster Christian. You know about the Creaster Christian, right? Those Christians who show up on Christmas and Easter. Martin Luther, we got a picture of him. So he worked tirelessly for the sake of the gospel at great personal cost. In fact, when he died, he was away from home because he felt obligated or he desired to go and settle a dispute among Christians. And so that's his life. And are we really to think that, again, when the divine accounts are settled, there's no difference between them, or between Martin Luther, excuse me, and a Skid Row drunk? I mean, I know God's ways are not our ways, but at least God's ways should be fair ways. Well, God has a word for us today as we struggle with this idea of fairness. He says, get out. Really, he says, take your religion and get out of my church. And we're shocked because all we're doing is laying out the facts here, God. This is the these are the things that I've done, and I'm not asking for an extra jewel in my crown, but some sort of recognition, some sort of nod that you acknowledge and receive, that you respect what I did. We're just looking for some acknowledgement. But listen to the landowner. He says, take what belongs to you. Take your self-satisfaction. Take what you think you deserve for your works. And go. And then, suddenly, the significance of the master's words dawn on us. We start to get it. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? You agree. Maybe we could translate it this way. Aren't you getting what you bargained with me for? And now we see our problem. We have seen our life with God as a contractual relationship. We have done our work thinking about what it's worth. And surely God has to acknowledge it, and surely it's worth something. And so we have kept points. We have tallied. If I asked you, what is it that you have done for the church, I would imagine without any problem, you could go through the list of ways in which you have given your time, treasure, talent to this congregation. You could talk to me about all the things that you've given up for your family, for the community. You could point out all the times where you did something and you didn't ask for pay and you didn't even get your due. I bet you could also point out the times where the folk around you didn't do anything. We've spent our time invested in counting and comparing. And that way of living is really just, I guess, life by a contract. Didn't you bargain with me for a denarius? See, that's actually really no way to live. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. And it's sort of more just like a thought experiment. He says in this story, what if a group of people, and he calls them ghosts, what if these ghosts from hell get on a bus and they go to the foothills of heaven? And then they're met by what Lewis calls these spirits, or this delegation of people from heaven. And this delegation from heaven would try to help these ghosts from hell see differently so that they could join them in heaven. Now, I'm not telling you this story as a doctrinal teaching on the way heaven and hell works in the afterlife. Why I'm telling you this story is so that you can see the interaction of these people. There's one interaction in particular I want you to be aware of. This man, this ghost, is talking to this delegate from heaven, and this delegate from heaven this delegate from heaven murdered one of their coworkers. And this ghost from hell, who actually was the boss, can't get over it. He doesn't understand why he was in hell, but this murderer was in heaven. In no way does that make sense. In no way is that fair. And so he keeps saying, listen, I'm just got to get my rights. I'm asking for nothing but my rights. And this spirit from heaven, this delegate says, forgo your rights. I'm here to help you. Let go of what you've earned, what you think is your due, and instead receive the gifts that God wants to give you. You know the ghost's response? Quote, I don't need your bleeding charity. And he turns around and goes back to the bus, and he goes to hell. You know the place where people get their rights? You know where that is? That's hell. And we can live there even here on earth when we think about all the things that we've done and why it's not fair that we're not getting the recognition or whatever we think is our due. We're counting and we're comparing and we get knotted up in our stomachs. And it's just no way to live. Because you see, the truth is, it's all bleeding charity. Actually, that's the kick off your shoes and dance good news. That everything is bleeding charity. You know how when you're growing up, maybe your parents or a teacher said, well, just wait till you get out into the real world? Maybe you've said it. I think what people mean by that is just wait till you get out and really have to work and you have to pay for what you get. That's kind of what they're thinking. But it turns out, that's not actually the real world. I came by today to tell you what the real world is. The real world is the place where murderers are set free with a clean conscience. The real world is where God is selling absolutely nothing and he is giving the kingdom away for free. The real world is where we keep making broken promises, but God continues to keep his promises. The real world is where we waste our time counting and comparing, and God says, here, I'll give you more time. Here is eternity. The real world is where we sin again and again and again, and we think, man, this has got to be it, but yet God still forgives us, even though we haven't seemed to knock that habit. And yet God says it again, I forgive you. The real world is where we don't pay, but we get to pardon. See, life's not fair, and that's actually really good news because we can all think of times in the past where we did things and we didn't get what we deserved. In fact, I don't know about you, but I still think I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop and for God to really let me have it, and yet he doesn't. He gives and he gives, and he gives, and he gives some more. frees, and he loves, and he serves. He rewards the intent as well as the action. That's the real world. Beloved, have you noticed that we don't ever sing, "Praise God from whom all fairness flows"? We sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And they do flow, freely, without count, and without cost. We are now free from what's fair. And we get to enjoy mercies uncounted, eternal grace, life forever. Finally, we get to start living. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.